this practice that you have in this congregation of praying a blessing very specifically for the speaker. And it's been done for me each time I've been here. I don't know if you know, but that is so precious, so special. What a gift. So I thank you for that blessing that I feel from all of you here this morning. And I thank you for the invitation to come back again. I guess the last few times I was here, it wasn't so bad. And so you didn't say to Ryan, oh my goodness, not her again. So I thank you. I thank you for co-creating as a group a space of genuine sacred worship this morning through the things that we've carried in from our week, through our songs and prayers this morning, through our being together. Together we co-create worship for God and healthy spaces of belonging. I'm so grateful to be part of that together. We've had some good nourishment through song this morning, some good nourishment through scripture, listening to Psalm 38 as we call to God and God answers back and forth in this dynamic giving relationship. We've heard from Colossians and been encouraged to be deeply rooted and established in Jesus. These are good words for us as we're together, but also as we prepare to go back out into our everyday lives. So I wonder, both of those passages encouraged us to find thank yous, gratitudes. I wonder, how do you say thank you in your everyday life, full of grief and joy and loneliness and love and failure and success? It's just a question to carry with us. How do we find spaces of gratitude and thank you? Our various interactions with scripture and song this morning lead us to our third scripture text. And I'm a person who loves to live week by week in the lectionary because it helps me not get to stuck in one small story forever. So the reason we have so many scripture readings this morning is because these are just the texts that the church around the world in various places is paying attention to and listening to. And for me, it's so hopeful and happy-making to know that I'm not alone on this Jesus walk. So we're going to have our third scripture reading a little bit differently this morning. I'm going to read a little piece of it and then talk about it, and read a little piece and talk about it. Because sometimes when we have it all in a big lump, it just, I don't know, do you ever do that? Eat a big lump of food and then it just sits there? We'll have a little bit and a little bit, just bite-sized pieces. So as we read this morning, I'm going to invite you to participate with me in a few different ways. And the first way is just by imagining. Once, Jesus was in a certain place praying. And as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples or followers. Can you imagine a certain place where Jesus might have been praying? Do you have a favorite place where you like to pray? For some people, that favorite place is in the garden, weeding. Not me, not me. Although I do weed in the garden. You might imagine where is your favorite place to pray and take Jesus there with you. And so Jesus said to his followers, this is how you should pray. And I wonder if we could say this together, this part. I have to move here so I can read it with you because my notes might not be the same as we have here. But let's pray this together. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Thank you. Thank you. For many of us, these words are similar ones to them, are ones that have been part of our lives for a long time. When I was growing up, the school that I went to in Assiniboia included the words of the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, right after O Canada and right before God Save the Queen. Every morning, we went through this little ritual, this little liturgy, before we started our school day. I think even more than these specific words that Jesus gave is the relationship of connection and flow and life that Jesus modeled for us, that Jesus modeled for his first followers. The relationship that we have with Jesus teaches us how to pray. We can use our sacred imagination, our prayerful imagination, to deepen our prayer experiences and our relationship with God, who I may slip up today. I often refer to God as the divine family, Father, Son, and life-giving Spirit. And if that comes out of my mouth, I'm not trying to be confusing, but that's what I mean when I say the divine family. Our relationship with the divine family and entering into to them in connection in my sacred imagination has been so helpful to me. Because then I can imagine Jesus right with me, listening to me, connecting with me. So today I go to that certain place with Jesus, and it for me is often a garden. Beautiful green. I use it in the winter a lot. But it looks an awful lot like a Saskatchewan summer. So in Jesus' culture, there was, I think, a strong focus on God as transcendent. So here's our $25 word for today. That sense of God as far away. Now, our culture has a strong sense of only what is imminent. That what's right here, right now, today. And we could use some balance in both of those cultures. So when Jesus refers to God at the beginning of this prayer, he uses the word Father. In the Greek, it's the word Pater. Later, we'll hear God referred to as Abba, Daddy. Just Father. A connection, a relationship of intimacy and love. Jesus models for us that there is presence, that God is present with us, that God provides for us, that God gives us forgiveness, that God is a God of power. It's almost like Jesus gives us a new alphabet for prayer. He could have used any one of the Psalms. I think Jesus probably had all 150 Psalms memorized, because that was what a Jewish boy in his day and time would have done, memorized them all, and probably the first five books too. I don't know, Jesus was pretty smart, I think, so he might have had the whole of what we consider the New Testament or Old Testament memorized. But certainly, the Psalms were the prayer book for the Jewish people, so he could have picked any one of those. But instead, influenced by his being steeped in his own culture, influenced by the relationship he had with God, he teaches us this very simple prayer that focuses on God's presence, on intimacy, on God's provision for our needs, on forgiveness, and on God's power. And then Jesus doesn't just leave his followers with words to repeat forever, right? Like, this is not just a, like, say these things. But he gives them some great examples of how to weave this into their everyday lives. I'll read for you again. And then teaching more about prayer, Jesus used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. And you say to your friend, another friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I've nothing for them to eat. And suppose the friend calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. So in this story, who is shameless? The one who is asking for what they need is shameless. Now, sometimes we think of shameless request. Oh, my goodness. But the example that comes to me this week as I sit with this passage is of my little dog. We have a 2-year-old Bichon Frise who we got from Arnold's daughter. And he's just the sweetest, sometimes a bit annoying, but mostly the sweetest little thing. And he is without shame. He asks for what he needs when he needs it. And he has every expectation that we will give him what he needs. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews uses the word, the phrase that we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. I think that boldness and this idea of shameless persistence are the same. Bjorn, our dog, this morning was standing in our kitchen and just He's quite a talker. He didn't need anything specific except, please come be with me. So I sat down on the floor, and he took his little paw, and he put it on my leg, and tapped it there a little bit. I said, yeah, come. And he crawled in my lap, and I pet him, and he looked up at me, and then he looked away, and then he yawned. And turned around 3 times and settled in. I wonder what it might be like for us to interact with God in that way too, where we could say, oh wait, God, I need a safe space to be right now. I don't know what I'm feeling, and something's going on. Could I just be with you? And then settle in. He, little Bjorn, is shameless in his asking because he does not need to be ashamed to ask for what he needs, whether it's water or food or brings me his rope, he wants to play, or he wants to climb on our laps. Whatever it is he wants or needs, he has this relationship of trust with us. And we can have a relationship of trust with God too. Sometimes the stories that Jesus tells introduce parts, seeds in them that sometimes it's hard to know what that might be about. But I encourage each of us to see Jesus' parables as gifts, as things that sometimes have a lid on them. So I know that in this community, the children often learn through godly play. And in godly play, the parables are represented by stories that are flat paper pictures. Instead of the other stories, the stories are told with wooden, three-dimensional pieces. But the parables are always, Are your parables kept in golden boxes? The parables can be kept in golden boxes with lids. They're gold because they're precious. But sometimes parables are tricky. The stories Jesus told are sometimes tricky because they have parts in them that we're not sure what he meant. But when we sit inside the story, I think the Spirit can reveal things to us. I invite you to sit inside the parables. Imagine prayerfully inside the parables. This scripture passage goes on to say, "And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents and aunts and uncles and other community people, if a child asks you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful human people know how to give good gifts to the children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus invites us to consider the ways that a healthy, loving parent on a good day interacts with a child. When a child needs nourishment, do we offer them what's good? Or do we offer what would hurt them? When they ask for a gift, do we give them poison and pain and death? Or do we offer them good gifts? And Jesus says we can add a how much more when we consider the love of our divine parent. Jesus knew the Creator Father, and I would say the life-giving Spirit Mother, as present and loving and forgiving and providing. And Jesus taught his first followers to pray, inviting them to know God in those ways too. Jesus can keep on teaching us to pray and to grow in our relationship with the divine through our relationship with Jesus. Now, God initiates with us over and over again. God reaches out to each of us and offers us gifts. Now, sometimes the gift God offers us is the gift that says, I need you to wait. And I do think God wants to answer our prayers, and underneath the desires that exist for each of us right here, I think there is a deep desire to be known and loved by God. And so God offers us the gift of the Holy Spirit. I certainly didn't expect that at the end of this passage. When I think about, you know, whatever you ask for, God will give you the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a, oh. But underneath most of our desires is our desire for connection and clarity, for hope and a future. And the Holy Spirit is the best way for God to help us walk into those things. As we receive the gifts that God offers to us, especially the gift of the life-giving Spirit, we can become even more deeply rooted and established in our relationship with the Creator, with our brother Jesus, with the life-giving Spirit. So may you grow into the fullness of that relationship today and every day. We are loved, we're blessed, we're provided for, we're forgiven, we're protected. And shamelessly, or boldly, we can approach God with delight and gratitude and relationship. We can respond to God in heartfelt ways so that our relationship with God can be rooted and built up and can come to fullness. Even so, Lord Jesus, grow your life of prayer in each of us. Amen.